From the Credit Union National Association, this is the CUNA News Podcast. Credit union people, credit union ideas.
Fintechs are here. Now credit unions must decide whether it's in their best interest to form partnerships with them or work independently and compete against them. I'm Jennifer Wolt, a senior editor for CUNA News and Credit Union Magazine. I recently spoke with Jeremy Pinard, the Vice President of Consumer Lending at Alliant Credit Union, a $10.6 billion asset credit union in Chicago. We talked about fintechs and how credit unions can partner with or compete against them to provide their members with the products and services they need. Jeremy, we hear a lot about fintechs and how they're disruptors at credit unions, and either we need to work with them or compete with them to offer services that members want. So how does Alliant Credit Union approach fintechs?
Over the last couple of years, we've really taken the approach of we need to learn about them. And one way to learn about them is partnering with them. It's being in places or in markets that they're in and understanding what they're bringing to the consumer that we might not be bringing to the consumer. And I think that's one thing for us at Alliant is really trying to figure out with our target market member, the ones that we want to attract at Alliant, like why are they using these fintechs and why is it something that they go to the fintechs instead of come to us?
So if a credit union decides they want to work with a fintech, how do you suggest they go about that process?
I guess I would say first and foremost, they need to understand what their ultimate goal is. Is it to partner in terms of offering a product or service that they don't believe they can offer? Is it to learn from them and develop a product or service that will compete against the fintechs? Or is it a hybrid model? Do you see, as a credit union, understanding what you're going to provide to the member, and this is just the service that you don't want to really provide? I think that's something you have to know up front. And then it's also going about it. You got to have a lot of governance and structure in place, and you need to go into it with your eyes wide open, so to speak, and understand what this is going to mean for you and your members and who's going to control the member experience along the way. Are they going to control it, or are you going to be embedded in a portion of it, or is it are you just turning it over to them?
So there's some kind of an evaluation kind of type process, and I'm guessing not all fintechs are the same in terms of you got your really good ones and you got some that may be a little sketchy, maybe. So how do you do that evaluation process? What do you look for?
Yeah, for us, that was a big part of the process. Did the culture of the partner that we built with Happy Money, formerly known as Payoff, fit our culture and how we want to interact with our members? And I think that's key, is does that partnership fit within your understanding of how you want your members to be treated? You know, some of the fintechs out there are a churn and burn model. They're just churning loans. Whereas the one we partnered with, Happy Money, they take a different approach and it really fit better with our member experience.
Now, you've mentioned Happy Money and that you've partnered with them. Can you tell us a little bit about them, what they are, what they do, and how they work with you?
Yeah, they're actually really great, and I recommend you go to their site and take a look at it. But essentially, they come from a perspective of debt causes stress for consumers, and consumers struggle with dealing with that stress. And they're really trying to come from an approach of they do this analysis of your personality, and they'll interact with you based on a survey or a questionnaire you take, and they'll gear their communications to you to kind of speak the language of that individual consumer. And then they want to move you from this, you know, borrower to saver to investor through this chain. And it's really a community I think they're trying to build. I know they're trying to build it, and they're working along that idea that debt is not good, that long-term people need to get out of debt. And so I think that's a little bit different than some of the fintechs out there.
So is it kind of like a financial literacy education type program?
Or? Yeah, I guess, I mean, obviously they would explain it better. But from my perspective, when we sat down with them, they're really trying to understand the consumer psychology of how do they manage this debt? And then they offer products and services up to move them through that life cycle of borrower, saver, investor.
So what's been your members' response?
You know, we don't send our members to them directly. We're kind of the back end balance sheet play right now with them. But what I would say is that we're learning from them. So as part of this partnership, they opened up their doors to us, kind of let us look under the hood and see how they do things. And what we've tried to do is internally for our members build a similar product that we can provide to our members and take that approach from providing a good unsecured loan, term loan with friendly terms. for our members. So it's a little bit of a, we don't directly push our members there. We learn from them and provided this product for our members.
How long have you been working with them?
We've been working with them for, I think, 2 years now, almost three. And officially, I think a year and a half, 2 years ago, we launched the product or the partnership. But we've been talking to them for 2 to 3 years.
And have you seen results?
Yes. I mean, the performance of the partnership we have on the paper side, where we're the balance sheet for them, and it's phenomenal paper. It's performing really, really well. And it's, again, they have a targeted niche market that they're going after, where these consumers are really taking that approach. I want to pay down the debt. I don't want to just, some other companies are very churn, get a new one, pay it off, get a new one, pay it off. They really want to move that consumer through it. I can tell you from the consumer lending side, it's been great working with them to talk to the folks over there and how their decision and engine, what the criteria they're using. It makes us better and smarter.
So it seems like almost kind of a learning environment and experience for you guys, where you can come back and offer even better stuff to your members. Yeah. That will help them get on there.
Absolutely. I think that's one thing. You know, we built our own LOS over the last 4 years, and obviously they were, during that time we started talking to them. I think a lot of things they do there, we're starting to look at how do we bring it into our LOS and use different criteria and data points to make better decisions and approve more loans for our members, because sometimes we don't do the best job of finding those data points that help us prove deeper into the credit tiers. We tend to be super prime. So it's been a great learning experience. And I'll have to say, going back to your original question, why do you partner? We knew we wanted to partner from a balance sheet reason. We thought it was a great opportunity for investment purposes, but it also is this learning side. Like, can we get involved with Happy Money and learn how they are really controlling that member experience, how they're making a seamless process that's truly scalable?
So you sound like you have a great example of working with a fintech. For a credit union that maybe decides, we don't want to work with them, we want to be competitive with them, what do they need to do?
So do your homework. I mean, really, one of the things that I tell credit unions all the time is don't be afraid of them. You know, get in there and do your homework, have conversations with them, you know, talk to them, figure out what are they providing that consumer that is attracting the consumer to them. Because again, they're not offering the best rates. If you look out there, their rates aren't the best. I mean, credit unions' rates are typically better, but they're creating a frictionless process that's just easy and simple. And that's the thing I think that credit unions is, don't point the finger and say they're bad. Go in and try to find out and do your research and see how you can maybe adopt the good parts and provide the member experience from a low rate and service standpoint.
So you kind of touched on this already, but lots of information out there about fintechs and what they do and how they're going to impact the financial industry. What would you say are kind of like the top three things that credit unions need to keep in mind going forward when having to make decisions that could relate to a fintech or how they operate to stay competitive with them? Or
yeah, so that's a great question. And I think there's a couple things. I think we have to understand that digital experience is here to stay. It's not going away. It's not a fad. You know, that you can look across the industry over time. There's some fads that come in and come out. But I think digital is here to stay forever. Consumers want instant approval. They want to do things on their mobile and they want to do it easily. So I would say, you know, those are two of the big ones. And then I think one thing credit unions are going to have to get comfortable with is finding that niche and understanding you can't be everything to all members. So again, I'll go back to your original questions. Maybe you figure out you can do three products well. Maybe it's a credit card, it's an auto loan, and a mortgage. And everything else, you partner with other fintechs or other companies or organizations that can provide those other products more efficiently and better. And you're either co-branded or however you want to make. But I really think that's where credit unions need to find the niche to survive. You know, I've come from a small community credit union all the way up to Alliant, which is an online, you know, digital credit union. We only have two branches. And the same thing is consistent. You got to find where you can play and compete, and where you can't, you just have to partner or understand that maybe that's not a product you provide to your members.
Anything about fintechs that we haven't discussed that you think is kind of big to bring up?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the interesting places is the autonomous cars and ride sharing, and how is that all going to play out in the sense that, you know, credit unions live and die on their auto loans. But what happens when a consumer's not buying an auto loan. Maybe they're buying a share of a car, or they're buying hours, or they're buying some other way to use a vehicle, or the autonomous cars as well. How do we handle that, and how do credit unions transition? Obviously, that's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a while, but I could see in some markets, city specifically, say Chicago, where in the next 5 or 10 years, you could have autonomous cars that are put out there that a consumer doesn't own. They just rent, very similar to, you know, all the other things you can rent one time and turn it back in. So I think that's interesting to me, and how does that play out? And I'm not sure what the answer is, but I do know that I think credit unions just have to be thinking about how do we compete, or how do we provide that finance option to our member that is going to buy a car with their neighbor or five neighbors or maybe people they don't even know.
So definitely, like you said, not something that's going to happen overnight, but really something that credit unions should be starting to think about, not just kind of put it on the back burner and go, we'll deal with it when it happens.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because sometimes I think some credit unions are like, oh, that's never going to happen, and oh, I'll be retired by the time that does, so I'm not going to worry about it. It doesn't set the credit union for success long term. And I think that's one thing at Alliant, my boss, Jason, has done, is try to get us to think that forward thinking, like what is going to be down the road that we don't know about, or how do we better prepare and keep our optionalities open to be agile and have the ability to adjust when we can. So I definitely think that's one of the things that credit unions are going to have to open and be comfortable talking about that side of it.
So switching gears a little bit and going from fintechs to talking about lending, we are, after all, at the CUNA Lending Council Conference. As Vice President of Consumer Lending, what are some of the trends that you're starting to see, or that you're seeing at your credit union?
I think one of the trends we're seeing is that digital experience is really driving some consumer behavior in terms of what loans they're getting with us. So we're definitely starting to see, you know, the unsecured loan is obviously through the fintechs becoming more popular. That short-term, short-need cash flow loan is becoming more popular. I think consumers are becoming extremely savvy. They're always, you have those, but I think a broader group's becoming more savvy in terms of they know they can click a button, get a lower rate. The indirect space is another thing I think that's is intriguing to me from a standpoint. In one of the sessions, they showed how credit unions have done more indirect lending than they ever done before. But is it profitable? That's my big question. We've made considerable changes in the last 3 to 6 months, you know, increasing our rates 100 basis points. And that profitability over time, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. As we all know, we're in the long end of a credit cycle, and so it's coming. Everyone says it's coming at some time. It's going to turn down. So how do you belt your program to be able to withstand that from a profitability standpoint?
And then what do you expect that members are going to want or need lending wise in 2019?
I think one of the things we're really seriously considering is we sunsetted a few products last year. We're probably going to sunset some more on the consumer side and really try to be focused. I think consumers, again, they truly want a frictionless, seamless process. And if we can focus all our resources on fixing that for a few key products, I think that's going to be the key for us. And then also we're dipping our toe in the water with auto leasing. That's something that we just started. We launched this year, so we're doing that. And then we'll continue with our indirect RV program that we're doing. So those are going to be big focuses in 19, as well as our credit card. We launched a Visa Signature Cashback Card with 3% cashback in the first year. So those are probably the three programs that we'll continue to focus on.
And what about challenges for next year?
Again, it's that profitability. It's that margin. You know, we're a little different than most credit unions. Our savings rate is 190 basis points right now. I think it's going to go up to 195. So we have to find ways to generate more yield to pay, you know, give that return back to our members in the form of deposits. So it's how do we adjust that and maintain that margin to be able to give back to our members.
And maybe you already touched on some of this, but on the flip side, bright spots for lending. I mean, you mentioned the signature cashback card. What other kinds of exciting things are happening at Alliant when it comes to lending?
I think it is that looking at all our products and really understanding how does that fit within our target market in terms of demographics and who we want to attract as members. one of the things that we're really focused on is improving those that value propositions to ensure that we can attract and engage those members. So I think the exciting part for, again, the credit card is a great one. We just crossed $200 million in balances. It was kind of a sleepy program last few years. We launched the Visa Signature Card. We're going to do revamping of the Platinum Rewards and the Platinum Card. And it's really that goal to provide that value to engage members, to get them in the door. And one of the new things we're going to do that I'm very excited about and the team from our credit product strategy is we're going to start targeting non-members with our card to attract new members in. And again, it's under that demographics or the idea that these are the members we want to attract. We're going to use this card to bring them in the door and obviously make them a profitable member.
And then anything that we've forgotten about or that you kind of want to bring up?
No, I think it's changing so fast. I mean, I've been in the industry a while, and it was kind of slow for a while. But recently, it just seems like the pace of change for the credit unions and lending in general is faster than ever. And it'll be interesting to see where we end in the next 5 or 10 years. Again, with that ride sharing or autonomous vehicles, does that really play out how some think it will, right? You won't own a car. You'll just press a button on your phone or who knows by then on your hand. And all of a sudden a car will show up. I don't know if it'll get there, but it's definitely exciting to think about it.
Any idea why that pace has changed?
It's the technology and the computers are becoming so. So for example, your phone, you know, 10 years ago, it would have been a bank of computer servers in a room to have this computing power. And now it's that ability your phone can compute at I don't know how many millions a second calculations a second. It's that ability to technology is just advancing it so quickly. Also, I think it's the consumers forcing it, right? That everyone's impatient now. I joke all the time with my wife that remember the day when you had to tell someone where you were going to be and you had to be there because you couldn't just text them? Like, if you weren't there, they didn't know where you were. I said, so nowadays it's that instant gratification, the instant information. You can Google anything you want. That's probably driving consumers, and obviously the technology is enabling it.
And what have you thought of the conference so far? I mean, I know we're early. It's only like a half day officially in.
It's great. I mean, I love this conference because, again, I've been coming for a long time, and a lot of colleagues and peers and friends that I've gotten to know over the years. And it's always great. Not only the sessions are great, it's the networking. It's the conversation. What are you doing? Oh, I tried this. We just had a great dinner with one of our partners, Experian, last night, and just the conversation around just random topics with four other credit unions or five other credit unions that's the value to me. The conference, there's a lot of information here, and the sessions are great, but the real value is interacting with your peers and networking and finding opportunities to improve your business.
Thanks for listening to the CUNA News Podcast. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play.